From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block. Synecdoche, a figure of speech in which a part is used to represent the whole, or a whole to represent a part. It's also the most abstract movie title of the year, Synecdoche, New York. It's the directorial debut of Charlie Kaufman, the writer of Being John Malkovich, Adaptation, and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And like those movies, Synecdoche is challenging, funny, and at times just plain bizarre. The lead character is a theater director named Caden Cotard, played by Philip Seymour Hoffman. When his wife leaves him and takes their daughter overseas, Cotard decides his next production will be a recreation of his own life, staged on a grand scale, with hundreds of actors and an enormous set.
The idea is to do a massive theater piece on uncompromising, honest. Here's what I think theater is. It's the beginning of thought. It's the truth not yet spoken. It's what a man feels like after he's been clocked in the jaw. It's love. Oh, it's messiness. You know, I want all of us, players and patrons alike, to soak in the communal bath of it, the mikveh, as the Jews call it, as we're all in the same water.
Philip Seymour Hoffman joins us from New York. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
That's quite a description of the theater. What's it like to hear that scene again?
It's well, because that scene, you know, he is talking about. I do think what he's saying, he really believes. Really, you know, I think he sees that life and art kind of mix, kind of go together. They can't be separated. And to have something, you know, if you're going to create something, you should create something that is that profound, you know. And but he's also trying to win back a girl that he lost. And he's not succeeding.
Yeah, it's not working too well.
It's not working as he kind of gets dark, gets more and more odd with his description of the theater. But
I want to talk to you about how you came to understand this character, Caden Cotard. He's a theater director. His wife has left him and taken their daughter to Germany. And over the years, he's developing all sorts of horrible physical ailments. A lot is going wrong with his life.
Yeah. I think one of the things is that you really are checking in on his life over a 40-year span. And that time in the movie keeps getting, it goes faster and faster as you move through it. And so all those ailments and stuff, you have the sensation that it's all happening over a short period of time. But actually all those ailments and those things that he's suffering from are happening over a 40-year span. And so, and that isn't that how life is? Life kind of stacks on top of itself. In this film, which I think it kind of explores that. That's how I would describe it. The life doesn't splay out in front of you like in a road that goes farther and farther forward, that it actually lays on top of itself. And also I think he's just kind of honestly trying to look at his life and the fact that he knows he's going to die, and he's not trying to deny that or look away from that. He's actually trying to look right into that. So his kind of obsession with being sick or his physical ailments or his neurosis about it is somewhat heightened just because of what he's interested in doing and interested in looking at and interested in creating and all that stuff.
At the beginning of the movie, your character is directing Death of a Salesman. And there's an interesting little parallel here. I've read that one of your first big roles when you were in high school was playing Willie Loman.
That's right. When I was a senior in high school. And I remember at that time I came to New York to audition for NYU while I was rehearsing that play. And I saw Dustin. I actually got one last ticket, I think, to the last, one of the second to last performance of Death was that Dustin Hoffman was in. And I remember seeing that and being so blown away by it. I remember going back and just trying to copy him.
Well, apparently it worked. I mean, you got amazing reviews back in
from my classmates. But I remember that. I remember going back going like, oh, God, I just remember how he did it. How did he do it? Because he was so incredible.
I read an interesting comment from your mom, someone relating what your mom said, that she came out of seeing you in this play. She had no idea how good you are. She was blown away.
Yeah, I think they're all. I was, you know, it's my mom took me to the theater when I was 12, and I fell in love with it on the spot. And that's a true story. That's not one of those fairy tale stories. It's actually I fell in love with it. I thought it was a miracle. I thought, well, how the hell do people get up in front of you and make you believe something that's not true? You know, I couldn't wrap my head around it. I thought it was the most amazing thing ever.
I wonder what you were getting at such a young age watching live theater that you weren't getting watching movies or watching television. That
well,
magic wasn't in, there in the same way?
No, I definitely saw films and was, you know, so moved. But the theater, so they're right there. They got up and they, you know, I'm sitting here and they're doing it in front of me. But the only difference is that they're doing it and I'm watching. But ultimately, we're all people hanging out in the same building. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it kind of put everyone on the same level. I was kind of awed by them, you know, because they were right there in front of me doing it. Whereas with film, there's this distance, you know what I mean? Not that you don't get very engrossed with the movie and get very moved, and it's a beautiful thing. But you don't know where those people are. You don't feel like you're ever going to meet those people. And you, I mean, that's how I felt. I'm never going to meet those people. I don't know where those people are. Those are very special people, you know, doing these very special things somewhere. You know, I just didn't get it, you know, and I didn't think I'd ever be a part of it.
You have played a lot of troubled characters. People describe them in different ways. And I'm curious, when you look at the roles that you're choosing, do you need to find some germ of likability in there? Is it important for you to be able to be empathetic with the character you're playing?
Yeah, because you have to. Well, I would say you have to be an advocate for them. You know, you're their attorney. You're the you're the public defender for your characters you play. You have to plead their case. You have to, you know, explore and ask the questions and investigate the life of this character in a way that where you would be able to advocate for them, because that's the only way you can get behind it and make it personal. You know, and political for yourself. So that's it. But I also, with the exception of maybe a few roles, I don't think really anybody I've played is any extraordinarily weird or stranger than, you know, most people walking the planet. Just, I think people are kind of weird. And people go through rough patches. And film and theater and novels, you know, the stories, fiction, is about drama. You know, it's about the person struggling. It's about the person trying. You know, sometimes they succeed and sometimes they don't. But that's what it's about. And I just think, I think that most people understand that.
Well, Philip Seymour Hoffman, it's been great talking with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Philip Seymour Hoffman stars in the new film Synecdoche, New York. And at NPR.org, you can hear more of our interview, including Hoffman's advice to anyone who's seen the movie and still doesn't quite get it. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.